This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. You got Reginald out of Tulane for Kevin and Corey. Mike Bassett Jr., as always, here. And Alec Medford on the ones and twos. We're the KNC Masterpiece for today and all the way throughout the week here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us. And always get involved with the program by texting in to the Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. You can also see us on Twitch and YouTube. And all three of the KNC Masterpiece participants today were at Globe Life Field last night for the Home Run Derby. It was a fun time. And look, let's go ahead and get to some of the fun of this. Let's start with cut number one, because I think this was the loudest that the building was during the course of the event, was when Adolis Garcia was introduced.
Making his second Derby appearance. His forearms are the size of my back. The 2023 ALCS MVP and World Series champion from your Texas Rangers, from Ciego de Ávila, Cuba, make some noise for Adolis Garcia!
Oh, I think they hate me. Yep. My big team.
I'm amazed. I don't even know that the TV copy got has how loud right. It got the, in the stadium.
The music. I didn't know this until I just heard it. The music drowned out the standing ovation that Adolis got in the building.
It was incredible.
Which was great. I feel like he needs it. It's for another topic, but I feel like Adolis needs to feel loved right now, because I think his confidence is weighed down on himself.
Yeah.
And so I love that moment. I love the attitude that he came out of that box from.
Yeah, I was wondering when they rolled that box onto the dirt, I was like, what is this? Is that a backstop? Like, because that takes away from the batter's eye. Is that going to be there?
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Yeah, I was like, this is weird.
But they put it together. Then I saw the players, you know, before television could see it, all the players get in there. And I was like, oh, that's how they're going to be introduced.
And it was a cool introduction. What was your takeaways? What were your observations from the Home Run Derby? Because I mean, just listening to Sean and RJ kind of be a little bit of our proxy, because I tried in the auxiliary press box, obviously watching the game, but I tried to look at the TV copy a little bit to get a little bit of a feel. But using Sean, RJ, Bobby, Peyton as my kind of proxy for the folks watching at home, I felt like I had a very different experience than what they described with the Derby on television.
It was awesome being there. I loved it. It's one of those things that I haven't gone. Now, I don't remember a lot about being at the 1995 Home Run Derby, except it was during the day. So if you were out in Arlington and taking in the events at the All-Star Village around like 2 o'clock to, let's say, 5 o'clock, can you imagine doing the Home Run Derby in the heat? Like that was, I just remember I was sweating. I was going to eSports to take, you know, my kid and my friend and my kid's friends over to the eSports All-Star Village yesterday. And we were walking around 4 o'clock-ish to go over there. And I was like, God, can you imagine if this thing was outdoors, like how much we were going to be sweating, and then what the energy level would be like for these guys trying to compete in a Home Run Derby in this weather environment. But man, I really loved it. I went in 95. I don't even remember who won. I'm sorry, I forget it because it was so hot. That's all I remember, is being a 17-year-old and remembering how hot it was at the Home Run Derby that I was at. And this one, you know, I don't think it will be really that remembered 5 years from now.
Yeah.
There was nothing special. In fact, I will say this. I had to look up when we got to our seats, like, who is the defending champ?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.,
right?
Yeah.
And so I had to remember. So there's very few of these that are memorable, that are remembered.
Just on, like, the merits of the competition itself.
Right, and that's why the Mark McGwire situation, Josh Hamilton situation, I think Aaron Judge competing in it and winning it, like, those are very memorable. But there's not many that are memorable, but being there was really awesome. I loved it. I think my kid and his friends thought it was awesome. They were in the upper deck. That's and awesome. They were just like, that was so cool, you know? And so there are probably some things that they could try to clean up and everything, but I do think entertaining our country, entertaining our world at this point with a home run derby or something like that, it's really tough. I don't know what you'd really need to do to keep the energy, but I enjoyed it. And if you went to it, I'm assuming you really liked it. Maybe there are some people who didn't, but I really liked it.
Yeah, let us know. Because I am interested in seeing as like your lasting impression from 95 was just hot. I do wonder like what your lasting impression will be. Do you have any feelings on what it might be? What might be the big thing, that the first thing that comes to mind if you think about this 10, 20 years from now?
For me, this is going to be way different from what Major League Baseball thinks. I realize that if you're listening right now, maybe you're different, but 95% or maybe 99% of our Metroplex does not care at all that you are from Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah.
I would say there's actually zero pride. There's zero pride in being from Colleyville Heritage, Duncanville, wherever it is, whether it's, let's say, Matthew Stafford from Highland Park. We don't care at all. I'm surprised. If I'm just going to tell you people, if Bobby Witt Jr. was from a Philadelphia suburb and that was in Philadelphia, he would have been getting standing ovations cheering for him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised with this. They talk about Texas pride. Boy, there's no pride in kids that are from here that go on and play professional sports with another team. I was standing up cheering for Bobby Witt Jr. I'm proud of Bobby Witt Jr. Now, there's a little bit of pride in me that I'm from a dad who grew up here, who was a Texas Ranger. And I'm like, how do these people not know? If you're a Ranger fan, do you know that Bobby Witt pitched for about a decade for the Texas Rangers, that he was a premium prospect in the mid-80s for the Texas Rangers? Do you know that Bobby Witt Jr. won a high school state championship for Colleyville Heritage? Do you know that he is considered by some scouts the greatest high school player that they've ever seen in the last 10 years? And most of the people there, as I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the guy's name on MLB Network who had the microphone.
Oh, yeah, I'm also.
He's a very tall, slender guy, but he is trying to get the people in Arlington motivated to root for Bobby Witt Jr. in the first round. And then Azadolus didn't make it to the second round, which was disappointing from a Rangers standpoint. And I'm like, is the fan going to shift to rooting for Bobby Witt Jr. because he's from here? He grew up a Ranger fan. His dad was a Ranger forever. And I'm like, these people don't even know, or they don't care.
And that's Greg Amsinger was the guy from MLB Network.
I would like to say to our Metroplex, I'm surprised that you don't care at all. That so many kids from this Metroplex become adults and make it in their sport and become superstars. I'm just going to assume this. I guess people don't care about Patrick Mahomes Jr.
But that's the thing, is I feel like people really do care about Patrick Mahomes. And so
Tyrese Maxey. Not saying you should root for Tyrese Maxey. But I'm telling you, people don't care. They don't care about people from here making it.
I wonder how much of it is, one, how many people actually know of Bobby Witt Jr.'s association with the Metroplex. And then, two, I think it was a great point made here on the text line that there's a lot of Dallas is becoming very transient. There's a lot of folks that move here from elsewhere that maybe don't have that same sense and feeling. And then another thing, someone asked Hook'em on the Twitch asked, why would I cheer for a guy who plays for another team? So I do wonder how much all of those things come together. And then for various different sections, those things will keep them from rooting for Bobby. But Bobby was a fun, it was a fun experience. There were times where I was like, oh, he's not on pace. And then he would have really good runs. That's one thing I noticed is just guys found their grooves. And in those moments, the building really built
up. Yeah, when you were hitting three or four home runs in a row, that's when it got really exciting. And maybe this, I'll give you this to the people listening. Maybe we're too big of a city. Now, Philadelphia is as big as us. Boston's bigger than us. They would root for their hometown heroes. But I did enjoy when guys got on a groove. I thought Jose Ramirez, how little he is.
Yeah.
He has to go all after it to get it. And you could tell how tired he was at the end of his 3-minute round. And for him, he was kind of the guy for me that knocked out Adolis Garcia, because I believe he hit 6 home runs in his bonus 3-out situation. And that was the guy who I felt like, dang it, he pushed Adolis out. And Jose Ramirez is one of the most underrated superstars in the game, because I think people think of him as an all-star.
Yeah.
But right now, he's the one offensively carrying Cleveland. And I get Kwan's leading off tonight and everything like that. But yeah, I was like,
come on, put some respect on Steve Kwan.
It was really fun being there. I really enjoyed it. The one thing that was just surprising to me that I have to understand is we don't care about Von Miller. We don't care about Myles Garrett. We don't care about Patrick Mahomes Jr. We obviously don't care about Bobby Witt Jr. And I just thought that the crowd would be more into Bobby Witt Jr. His dad played for the Rangers for a decade.
Yeah.
Not that we weren't booing him. We weren't against him at all. I was just shocked when you're trying to find somebody to root for.
Right, especially
as Adolis has left the contest.
How did you feel about Adolis's performance? Because one of the things that I immediately noticed in this was like his pace wasn't great. And then, like I was mentioning, I think the players that moved on in this, they at least found their rhythm for a certain period of time, especially a lot of them right after their timeout. They were able to then, boom, rattle off a few. It felt like he wasn't able to get, though. And he didn't get all those allotted pitches in. It felt like he didn't play the system very well.
He didn't do it well last year, and there wasn't the maximum amount of pitches where you had only 40. But, yeah, I thought it was better the way Jeff Russell's son, by the way, another former all-star son out there throwing batting practice to Bobby Witt Jr., is I thought that Bobby Witt Jr. did it right, and so did Alex Baum to start off the competition. Let's go at a pretty good pace to start this off. And then with about 30 seconds to go, have 5 pitches left where there's, as I'm fatiguing, I'll have a little bit more time in between home run swings, where Adolis and a couple other guys decided we're going to go at a slower pace. It ended up working out for Teoscar Hernandez because he's the champ. But Teoscar was dealing with the same thing where he would get down to there's about 20 seconds left and still have about 6 swings left, and would maybe miss 1 swing or 2 swings or have to rush the last couple pitches where he wasn't ready to swing the bat.
Yeah, he got, as was mentioned on here, he didn't really play the bonus round of this very well either. He just swung away, and I guess maybe that's something that you talk about with the Adolis just in general, swinging away, where it felt like, hey, take your time, make sure you get your pitch, and then send it in. I mean, he got 18 in regulation. You imagine if he plays this a little bit more like the eventual champion Teoscar and really takes his time, finds his pitch, he probably should have added a few more, and that probably would have pushed him along.
Because Ramirez added 6 in the bonus round in the first round. So he went from, I'm sorry if I'm drawing a blank, I think he had 20 in the first round. He had 14, I believe, at the end of the 3-minute round, and then he was able to go 6 for 9. And hitting home runs in the bonus round. And that was the guy for me that I felt like knocked out Adolis. And if Adolis would have been a little bit more patient, in fact, Hernandez, Teoscar, he was taking 2 pitches. It didn't matter where they were. He was just like, let me just see. Also, let me catch my breath. I'm not even going to load up to swing. And then the third one, he would then load up and be like, I'm swinging if it's in the zone that I feel like I can hit a homer. But it was a blast being there. If you didn't get to go, man, it's maybe 20, 30 years from now, you can get to go to the next one here.
Well, you will continue to watch them. And you know what? At 12 at noon, let's talk about, you know, maybe possible changes for the format and how the format change felt in this one. We'll do that at noon. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, could Nike's downward trajectory have been the Mavs' gain? I'll explain what I mean next on the
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Datatula, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford all in with you today. Could Nike's downward trajectory have been the Mavs' gain? We'll explain what I mean just in a second. I just want to remind you, we are like 2 weeks away basically from August. And August 10th, Fan Bowl 2024 taking place at Hurtado's in Arlington. And that is brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door Repair. Know that being a part of Fan Bowl, the big paper football tournament that we put on every year, registration should be opening up soon. So really, you want to keep it locked here. Turn it on, leave it on, as the saying goes, to 105 Through the Fan. That's coming up pretty soon. But Mike, you brought this up. As we all know, Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Mavericks, he's done a fantastic job. He basically pulled a coup, bringing in one of the great shooters in this era of basketball, and maybe all time, to be completely honest, and Klay Thompson to this team in this offseason. And he's continued to do that over the course of time that he's been here. He came from Nike. He was a Nike executive. And one of the questions that you kind of brought to mind was, Nike seems to be taking a downward turn as a corporation. Could that downward trajectory either like correlate in any way with Nico ultimately deciding to finally come out of that space, that shoe space, into the general manager space and help the Mavericks? Because he has absolutely been a big gain for this organization.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's interesting when you start losing quality people.
Yeah.
What can happen to a dominant company over time? And so we'll concentrate here on Nike. If people are like, I understand, I don't have Nike stock. I'm just pulling this up because I've seen a lot of things on YouTube about the downfall of Nike. Nike's still a premium product, still has all the branding you would ever want, pretty much. But in February, their stock was at $107. Today, it's at $72.18. It's dropped in the last 6 months, approximately 30%.
Yeah.
When you watch people who are shoe people or people that really care about this stuff, their quality control has gone way down. Their Jordans are crappier. They're not making them as well, so people aren't buying them. They raised the price tremendously on them. They were upping the price on them, and people are like, I'm just not paying that much for kind of basic Jordan 1s, or I'm not paying $220 retail for Jordan 4s, yeah, which are, you know, very popular over the last year or so. And that's Jordan brand, and they're kind of a little bit different than Nike, but they are still somewhat part of Nike. Then people who are performance basketball shoe people have said Nike has decided to not put any of the premium technology into their shoes anymore for the public. So a lot of people who are hoopers that play a lot of basketball are now going away from Nike because Nike has decided to make a cheaper product, cheaper than Adidas, cheaper than some of the competitors. New Balance is in the game now. And they're like, honestly, the performance now of Nike basketball shoes is not where it is. And the guy went over and said, like, people said, well, they give the premium stuff to the players like Ja Morant or Luka or Giannis, whoever it is that's a, yeah, Nike client or a Jordan client. But we don't get it, and we never got it. They said, that's not right. I'm going to show you over time the Jordan product. David Robinson, Charles Barkley, Penny Hardaway. They keep going through all these people. Like, we were not getting a custom fit shoe the, yeah, way that they were getting, but we were getting all the premium technology from Nike in the late 80s, 90s, up to about COVID time, is about when all of these people that are really smart in this said, this is where Nike's finally, it's taken it time, but people are like, Nike's not a good product, and they're upping their price so much that it's like, is it worth it? Now, they're still premium. I don't want to take too many shots at Nike, but I'll leave it to you, Reggie. I think losing people like Nico, over time, people make the company.
Yeah.
And you keep losing people like this, and it's the Mavs' gain, but you keep losing people like this, and you keep hiring, I'll say, incompetent people, then you start seeing over time, even the biggest of brands will take big hits.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the technology, you say that, like, you know, maybe they're not custom fits for you as a consumer, but in some ways they were. Like, for me, I have long, slender feet, and that's kind of like Kevin Durant. And so the things that Kevin Durant uses, a similar play style, I'm not going to say that I play exactly like Kevin Durant, but like similar things that he likes on the floor, like having good traction on the shoes. I'm like, okay, that's something that I value. And so I knew that I could wear the shoes that he wears, especially if they're his player exclusive shoes, because they will have that technology. They're built to matter like that. But like you're saying, is if they're losing some of that impression on their consumer product, you can't necessarily do that. And to highlight that point even further, you mentioned the idea of technology. Where did Nike start? What was the core of their company when they started?
The running Oregon guy who ran?
Yeah, absolutely. Phil Knight started this.
Who's the guy that was their number one guy, the runner?
Oh, I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Help
I can't
us out. Exactly. I'm on Twitch right now. Help me out. They made a whole movie about him, and he died, I think, did he die of cancer really quickly, or did he die of a car wreck or something?
I do not recall. I'm going to be completely honest.
Keep going.
But like running, and in the running space, like Nike does not hold preeminence like it used to. Now you'll look at Brooks, you'll look at Asics, you look at Hoka, you look at OnCloud. Those brands have definitely took a lot of that performance running in what is that essence of it. And so yeah, they've lost their essence. And for multiple reasons, like you mentioned, they've decided no longer to like innovate and renovate. They used to be forefront when it came to technology and design. And you've seen people leave. You mentioned that like over years, I think Adidas stole some of the great Nike designers in maybe the mid to late aughts as well. And so you started seeing kind of that flow, and Prefontaine
there we go.
Died
Thank
in a
you.
Car crash in Eugene. Thank you to the very, very, various folks on the text line. But yeah, you see people move away from that because like as a company, they did not prioritize, you know, the innovation and then the brand, like investing. And this is where Nico Harrison comes in. Like the ways that Nico Harrison has proven with the Mavs already in his short tenure to be able to identify talent that would help. That was something that he did on a level all the way up and down on identifying talent to, you know, give money to with Nike, because you have to know who's going to be big. Like if you watch the Air movie, that's basically what they're going after. Like you identify that talent early, you get in good with them, and then you know that they're going to produce at a high level because that brings, you know, attention back to your brand. They have not done that necessarily as well recently as now. And I wonder how much those things also track with Nico Harrison leaving and other people around the business leaving, because as you mentioned, people make the business a lot of times.
Yeah, it's Nico at the time, and I get it. We were at this time last year very frustrated with Nico. It just didn't look like it was working out, to be honest. And now we are 1 year later, and it's thank God we have Nico running this thing. And he understands talent. It seems like he understands a little bit of how things fit chemistry-wise. Now, that can all blow up. It's very tough to win a championship. It's very tough to be one of the top teams in the NBA for a long period of time, and he still has to prove that in his career. But you look at, I'm not saying Nike, just Nico, but when you lose a guy like Nico and then you see a company over time start just nosediving, and Nike will be fine, but they're starting to nosedive a little bit. It's the people who make the company, not the company itself. And when you see Nike doing this and losing, they got to start hiring people that were Nico 20, 30 years ago. And whoever the designers were that they've lost, they got. I met a kid yesterday at the esports deal. He's 14 years old. He's from New York. He's a big Mets fan. He's there painting shoes, like custom shoes.
Yes, yeah.
And that was amazing. I think, Alec, you told us about that yesterday, and I got to go to the esports, and they had, the kid was there like working on shoes, and I just thought like, oh, it's some kid must have like, you can pay money and you can color your own shoes if you want. And then the mom came up to me like, no, he's these shoes, those are his shoes. Like he's an artist, baseball player who loves, you know, creating custom shoes with kind of having just a white baseball shoe. And those are the type of people that when you're running a great company, you're like, how do I get that 14-year-old, not today, obviously, but I need to make sure that I have that 14-year-old's information so when he's ready to work, he seems to be already has that creative mind right. that can maybe take our Nike or New Balance or whoever it is to another level. And I think it just goes to show me, even people like Nike or companies like Nike, it's still the people. It's, I mean, I'll be very egocentric here. It's us that make 105.3 the Fan.
I think
like
so.
If you can't just put random people on here and people will listen. That was proven in the past. Like, you have to have people that are good at this, that keep the audience listening. And I'm able to do that. And there's other people up here that are able to do that. And so that's where Nike, for some reason, they thought, and it's amazing how many higher up people think this. They think it's not my workers, it's the brand. And they're all, in almost in all cases, they're always wrong. And you can just get into this shoe thing and go Converse. I just bought a couple of Converse weapons. Yeah. Converse was Nike for decades in the 70s and 80s for sure. And now Converse is owned by Nike. And so Nike does whatever they, you know, want to do with Converse. They want to make money off of Converse. They never want to make Converse up to Nike. It's kind of like when the Ticket owned ESPN here in the Metroplex. They're like, we want to make money off of ESPN. We never wanted to compete with the Ticket. And so I look at it and I go, I'm glad we got Nico. And maybe this, I don't know this, but maybe other organizations need to look at things that are like, they're related to our sport. They're not in our sport like running an organization, but they're running a company that can is somewhat related with sports. I just wonder if other people will look at people like Nico Harrison and go, if there's a Nico Harrison at Adidas, a Nico Harrison at whatever,
sure.
you know, and go, man, these guys, give them some time. But they know how to keep a brand up top and even expand on how up top they are. And I think over time they can help the Dallas Cowboys, Texas Rangers, Dallas Stars, Dallas Mavericks. We're seeing the results of it. So yeah. It's cool.
And I mean, it's worth remembering. Nico Harrison was widely desired and sought after for a GM position. He ultimately made the decision that the Mavs were the right time and the right opportunity. So again, a lot of appreciation to him for looking at the Mavericks and seeing the possibilities there. But yeah, the idea that the people are the company, I think that's something that, if you'll allow me to kind of make a ham-fisted tie-in, I think that's one of the reasons why you can see some teams be successful and some teams not be successful. And if you look at it, I jumped on Kansas City radio yesterday and they asked me, like, are we going to see contracts happen with the Cowboys soon? And the answer is, I don't know. And I'm starting to wonder how much the Cowboys recognize that principle that you're talking about is like the people matter and making sure that you have the right people in the right positions. And I mean, I think that they do in certain places, like their willingness to hold on to at all, you know, with, you know, for all costs, hold on to Will McClay and knowing that, hey, what he brings is valuable, those things. But then in some ways, not handling certain contracts at certain times, you makes you wonder, like, do they understand that value that it seems like Nico Harrison, the Mavs, and maybe Nike don't understand in some ways?
I think you bring up the Cowboys, which is interesting in this topic, because the Cowboys would be to say you don't need to have all of this to stay on top and to expand. But I'll say this, I am not a fan of the Joneses, 100%. I think I make that as clear as day. But I will say this, and I'll always say this, I think Jerry Jones is the smartest owner in the history of sports. He knows how to make so much money off of a product. And I do think he's so smart that he could win championships again. I don't know at his age if he's honestly like all doing a lot of things anymore and everything, but he also knows if he did it to give himself a better opportunity to be a champion, I also think he understands that maybe the credit wouldn't go so far his way because he'd have to hire unbelievable coaches and there would be things where we would look towards these people rather than him. And he has in his mind, I already have the championships, I already have the Hall of Fame and everything. So he's a genius. But he's intentionally like not being a genius in football to see if he can get the championship his way.
Interesting. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for a little Mike.
You got
I was gonna say Mike likes it. Baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Well, I want to go to the MLB draft again. The Rangers got 3rd through 10th round, and I find it interesting where the Rangers are going next.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Datatula in for the vacationing Kevin and Corey. I'm just gonna assume they're vacationing together. Mike Bassett here as always with you. I mentioned Mike Bassett because he's here, but then also because it's time for a little bit of baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right, so yesterday as we were leaving the air, the MLB draft continued, and they went through 10 rounds yesterday. I believe today they go through 10 rounds and it's over. Just to give you an idea, back in the 1990s, the draft wouldn't end until every team wanted it to end.
They just kept drafting all season long.
Yes. It was just until that day was over. So you would get to round 54, and then the Rangers would go, we're done. You get to round 56, and five other teams would drop out. Like you just, so what would happen was you could keep drafting until you were done drafting. You just keep going in the order, but it wouldn't end. There was no end to the draft. The day, I guess, would end the draft.
Sure.
But eventually everybody would stop drafting, which is always interesting to me because back then you had draft and follow, which you don't have anymore. So what I mean by this is Chris Woodward, we talked to him about this a while back when he was the Rangers manager. What you could do is, let's just say, Reggie, you were a player at, let's just take Colleyville Heritage, for example, where Bobby Jr. was at. You're at Colleyville Heritage, and you kind of have two scholarships. You have a scholarship at, let's say, the University of Texas, and you have a scholarship at Navarro.
Okay.
Well, if I draft you, this is back in the day, and I tell you, hey, we want to draft and follow you.
Mm.
We don't want you to go to University of Texas. Here's what we can offer you today. Let's just say you are our 40th round pick. We can offer you $50,000, but we know that you're going to say no. Let's just say we know your family. We know kind of where you are at, and you needed at least six figures, but we don't feel comfortable offering you six figures yet. Go to Navarro. And if you get to play every, you know, you're going to play every day at Navarro. I know the coaches, you know, the coaches, you're going to play every day in center field at Navarro. And if you have a good year at Navarro while you're playing every day, we can sign you up to 2 weeks, I think, until the next draft. So we hold your rights.
Got you.
So that's why the draft would go on forever, is because you would want to hold rights of high school kids or junior college kids, because if that guy really improved, so let's just say, Reggie, you had a year at Navarro where you hit 350 with 14 home runs, and you had, like, let's say 30 stolen bases, and you're playing a solid outfield. Instead of your $50,000 now, I'm like, man, I don't want him to go back into the draft because I think he might be a top 6th round pick. And so a 6th round pick now in today's market, I'll just tell you, in today's market, the Rangers drafted with the 195th pick in the 6th round, Garrett Horn. He's a pitcher from Liberty University. It says his slotted money is $302,000. So that's way more than back in the day. Usually a 6th round pick would be right at the edge of a $100,000 player.
Okay.
So if I want to go back in time, now instead of giving you $50,000, I think that you could be a 3rd round pick. But I'm not sure. But I know you're probably going to be a 5th or 6th round pick. Well, I'm going to go, hey, Reggie, instead of going back to Navarro or maybe thinking about going to college for 2 years, because if you go to a Division I school,
you
either have to be a 21-year-old sophomore or you have to go for 3 years until you're draft eligible or through your junior year because you've already played 1 year of college baseball. So then all of a sudden I go, Reggie, I don't want you to re-enter the draft. We have your rights and we want to sign you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to offer you $175,000. So now all of a sudden, now you have to think about this. Now you're like, okay, I have a limited amount of time to think about this because I have a few days before I re-enter the draft. Do I want to take my chances that I'll get drafted in the 5th round or higher? Or do I want to take this 175 and now go to pro ball? And in a way, there's a little bit of like, hey, you don't have the ego of saying you were drafted in the top 6th rounds or the top 5 rounds where you're going to be considered a 40th round pick.
Yeah.
But that's where things were very different back then. And that's why the draft would go on forever, because a lot of teams, their last 20 picks or so, would be draft and follow guys out of high school or junior college guys. Now, there's no such thing as draft and follow. You either sign in the allotted amount of time, which I believe is like a month after this draft is over. So today's July 14th. Do I have the
15th? 15th. Or sorry, 16th.
Today's July 16th. Wow. It's going quick.
Yep.
You have until approximately, and I don't know if this date is right. I'm just giving you an approximate amount of time. You have till about August 16th to sign your draft picks, or the kids that were in high school go off to their college. The kids that are in college, if you don't sign, they have choices to make, but most likely they will go back to their college. So this is a little bit more like you would think a draft is like, rather than now. If you can't draft and follow a kid, let's just say third round pick from North Carolina, just back in the day, Casey Cook from North Carolina. As soon as that kid re-enrolled and went to his first day of class at North Carolina, because it's a four-year university, a Division I school, you lose his rights. Sure. You can't draft and follow somebody from University of Texas or North Carolina back in the day. It would have to be a junior college or a kid out of high school going to a junior college school or a community college school. So that's why now you see the Rangers. I get to the Rangers draft yesterday. 10 players taken so far. 9 are college players. They only took one high school player in the whole draft, and that was in the 5th round. They took Devin Fitzgerald, a shortstop from, I'll just say, Florida. He's from a high school in Florida. They took 9 out of their 10 picks were college kids. I think now, here's the shift. In the last 2 years, the NIL money is now getting into the 6 figures. And who's to say that if Texas A&M is ticked off because of Coach Sloss and they're competing against the University of Texas for a 4 or 5 star kid who they think is going to go to college rather than sign pro, he's like a 2nd or 3rd round pick, and it's like, I think he's going to go to college. It might get to $1 million a year for college baseball kids if you really want the kid. Or after the freshman year, a kid's at University of Texas and they're only willing to pay him $500,000, maybe LSU and A&M go, man, you hit the transfer portal, we guarantee you $1 million. We'll double your NIL.
Man, I mean, the numbers get so big so quick that, and I'm always real hesitant around college sports when it comes to the NIL, because there's no body that's taking into account what these actual numbers are, so it's just people talking. But only God knows the amount of money that's being transferred in, to get the talents that are here.
I think Rangers, one, they want to develop guys that are closer to what they know they are.
Sure.
There's still more development. This is the tough thing about baseball, is you don't really hit what we think you can hit until 24, 25 years old. So when you're taking an 18-year-old, you have about 6 years of development to think about.
Yeah.
If you're taking a 21-year-old college kid, a junior out of college, you have more like 2 to 3 years until you think they could reach a higher potential that they have. So that's the tough thing about, let's say, the NFL draft versus the MLB draft. Now, the other thing, too, which was interesting with the Rangers in this draft, they took 4 pitchers. And I feel like recently they've been taking 6 or even 7 pitchers. I'd have to go back and look at their history, but I feel like because they've been so pitching depleted in their organization, they've concentrated in the first 10 rounds on taking more pitching prospects than position prospects. I'm not saying that the Rangers have fixed their pitching situation in the development and they are getting a whole bunch of guys. But I wonder this. I don't know this. I wonder if they looked at this draft and they just said, you know what? You know what we're good at developing? We're good at developing position players.
Right.
So why not concentrate on what we're good at? We still need to take pitchers. They took a 4th round, a 6th round, an 8th round, and a 10th round pitcher. Now, I have to remind people this. They took 10 picks, including your 1st and 2nd rounders the day before. Only 2 of these guys are going to make the major leagues. Literally 2 of these guys are going to get 1 day in the minor leagues. If you hit 3 out of your top 10 picks, make the major leagues. And one of them is like a Mike Bassett career. I had a crappy career in the major leagues. I won 10 games. I had an ERA over 5. I was not good. I made it, which is a super success story, because out of the guys that get drafted, less than 10% of them make the major leagues for a single day in their life. So we can look at these guys and be very excited about all of these prospects. The likelihood that more than 2 of these guys make the major leagues for a single day with any team, let alone just the Texas Rangers, is unlikely. Sure. 2 of these guys are going to make it in the top 10 rounds. And most likely one of them is going to be Malcolm Moore, your first round pick. Right. They have a very, they're what we call, you know, aluminum. They're recyclable because they were drafted so high. Everybody believes the talent is eventually going to pan out. So, you know, most likely Malcolm Moore is going to make it. One other guy in this draft that we drafted is going to make it in the 10 rounds. And then maybe you hope that you are a good drafting team in 2024. And by 2028 or 29, you had three of your top 10 round picks actually make the major league.
Does the seeming shift in philosophy, I don't know if that's too grand of a thought, but is it the seeming shift in philosophy of the Rangers a little bit more to more college players, maybe an attempt to up that number, like closer to the development that you need, understanding that you still need more some development to get them to major league ready?
Yeah, I do. Now, when I was with the Cleveland Indians back in the 90s, they had a philosophy of not really taking a lot of high school kids. In my draft, out of guys that they signed, we only took three high school guys. Now, that was John Hart, who eventually came to the Rangers, and they just felt like they wanted guys that were more mature and that they had a better understanding of. And so if they were taking a high school guy, they just wanted them to feel more confident about it. And the two other guys that were drafted out of high school, Ryan McDermott, who I believe lives in our Metroplex. I haven't seen him in a long time, but I know he moved here. He is a second round pick, and I don't even think he made it past A-ball. And Grant Sharp was a kid who was a fifth round pick in my draft out of high school. I was 18th round. I was the third high school player taken in our draft.
Yeah.
Is Grant Sharp quit after a year because he didn't like pro ball.
Wow.
So he actually quit really quickly. He quit after half a season, and they're like, well, you have to give back your $150,000 signing bonus. You have to play at least a full season. So he played a full season, then showed up to Winter Haven, Florida the next spring training, got his paycheck for driving to Winter Haven, and then drove back home to Mississippi and then was done playing baseball. So I do think we'll see, end of story here, I do think we'll see going forward a lot more college players, not only drafted by the Rangers, but drafted by their teams because they can't compete now with the NIL money. I can't take a kid in the 10th round, it says slotted here, $178,000. Man, if I'm drafting a kid that is already committed to University of Texas, for example, or Texas A&M, and I already know they're going to get $100,000 their freshman year and possibly more as they go to A&M, how can I convince them to sign for $180,000 if they're going to make $300,000 and be getting an education and being at Texas A&M? A-ball sucks.
Yeah.
So
riding the bus compared to being one of the big men on campus is definitely a different experience.
That's it.
There you go, a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick. Appreciate you, Mike, for that look into the Rangers MLB draft for, I guess, the first 10 rounds. Yeah. That continues today.
The next 10 rounds, 11 through 20 are today, and then it ends.
There we go. It doesn't go on forever like everything else. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Jalen Brunson no longer a Mav anymore. However, just signed an extension with the Knicks, and he took less money, left a lot of money on the table. Do you like moves like this? We'll discuss it next on The Fan.
You hit 350 with 14 home runs, and you had, like, let's say 30 stolen bases, and you're playing a solid outfield. Instead of your 50,000 now, I'm like, man, I don't want him to go back into the draft because I think he might be a top six-round pick. And so a sixth-round pick now in today's market, I'll just tell you, in today's market, the Rangers drafted with the 195th pick in the sixth round, Garrett Horn. He's a pitcher from Liberty University. It says his slotted money is $302,000. So that's way more than back in the day. Usually a sixth round pick would be right at the edge of a $100,000 player.
Okay.
So if I want to go back in time, now instead of giving you $50,000, I think that you could be a third round pick. But I'm not sure. But I know you're probably going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. Well, I'm going to go, hey, Reggie, instead of going back to Navarro or maybe thinking about going to college for 2 years, because if you go to a Division I school, you either have to be a 21-year-old sophomore or you have to go for 3 years until you're draft eligible or through your junior year because you've already played 1 year of college baseball. So then all of a sudden I go, Reggie, I don't want you to re-enter the draft. We have your rights and we want to sign you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to offer you $175,000. So now all of a sudden, now you have to think about this. Now you're like, okay, I have a limited amount of time to think about this because I have a few days before I re-enter the draft. Do I want to take my chances that I'll get drafted in the fifth round or higher? Or do I want to take this $175,000 and now go to pro ball And in a way, there's a little bit of like, hey, you don't have the ego of saying you were drafted in the top six rounds or the top five rounds where you're going to be considered a 40th round pick. Sign.
Yeah.
But that's where things were very different back then. And that's why the draft would go on forever, because a lot of teams, their last 20 picks or so would be draft and follow guys out of high school or junior college guys. Now, there's no such thing as draft and follow. You either sign in the allotted amount of time, which I believe is like a month after this draft is over. So today's July 14th. Do I have the
15th? 15th. Or sorry, 16th.
Today's July 16th. Wow. It's going quick.
Yep.
You have until approximately, and I don't know if this date is right. I'm just giving you an approximate amount of time. You have till about August 16th to sign your draft picks, or the kids that were in high school go off to their college. The kids that are in college, if you don't sign, they have choices to make, but most likely they will go back to their college. So this is a little bit more like you would think a draft is like, rather than now. If you can't draft and follow a kid, let's just say third round pick from North Carolina, just back in the day, Casey Cook from North Carolina. As soon as that kid re-enrolled and went to his first day of class at North Carolina, because it's a four-year university, a Division I school, you lose his rights. Sure. You can't draft and follow somebody from University of Texas or North Carolina back in the day. It would have to be a junior college or a kid out of high school going to a junior college school or a community college school. So that's why now you see the Rangers. I get to the Rangers draft yesterday. 10 players taken so far. 9 are college players. They only took one high school player in the whole draft, and that was in the 5th round. They took Devin Fitzgerald, a shortstop from, I'll just say, Florida. He's from a high school in Florida. They took 9 out of their 10 picks were college kids. I think now, here's the shift. In the last 2 years, the NIL money is now getting into the 6 figures. And who's to say that if Texas A&M is ticked off because of Coach Sloss and they're competing against the University of Texas for a 4- or 5-star kid who they think is going to go to college rather than sign pro, he's like a 2nd or 3rd round pick, and it's like, I think he's going to go to college. It might get to $1 million a year for college baseball kids if you really want the kid. Or after the freshman year, a kid's at University of Texas and they're only willing to pay him $500,000, maybe LSU and A&M go, man, you hit the transfer portal, we guarantee you $1 million. We'll double your NIL.
Man, I mean, the numbers get so big so quick that, and I'm always real hesitant around college sports when it comes to the NIL, because there's no body that's taking into account what these actual numbers are, so it's just people talking. But only God knows the amount of money that's being transferred in, you know, to get the talents that are here.
I think Rangers, one, they want to develop guys that are closer to what they know they are.
Sure.
There's still more development. This is the tough thing about baseball, is you don't really hit what we think you can hit until 24, 25 years old. So when you're taking an 18-year-old, you have about 6 years of development to think about.
Yeah.
If you're taking a 21-year-old college kid, a junior out of college, you have more like 2 to 3 years until you think they could reach a higher potential that they have. So that's the tough thing about, let's say, the NFL draft versus the MLB draft. Now, the other thing, too, which was interesting with the Rangers in this draft, they took 4 pitchers. And I feel like recently they've been taking 6 or even 7 pitchers. I'd have to go back and look at their history, but I feel like because they've been so pitching depleted in their organization, they've concentrated in the first 10 rounds on taking more pitching prospects than position prospects. I'm not saying that the Rangers have fixed their pitching situation in the development and they are getting a whole bunch of guys, but I wonder this. I don't know this. I wonder if they looked at this draft and they just said, you know what we're good at developing? We're good at developing position players.
Right.
So why not concentrate on what we're good at? We still need to take pitchers. They took a 4th round, a 6th round, an 8th round, and a 10th round pitcher. Now, I have to remind people this. They took 10 picks, including your 1st and 2nd rounders the day before. Only 2 of these guys are going to make the major leagues. Literally 2 of these guys are going to get 1 day in the minor leagues. If you hit 3 out of your top 10 picks, make the major leagues. And one of them is like a Mike Bassett career. I had a crappy career in the major leagues. I won 10 games. I had an ERA over 5. I was not good. I made it, which is a super success story, because out of the guys that get drafted, Less than 10% of them make the major leagues for a single day in their life. So we can look at these guys and be very excited about all of these prospects. The likelihood that more than two of these guys make the major leagues for a single day with any team, let alone just the Texas Rangers, is unlikely. Sure. Two of these guys are going to make it in the top 10 rounds. And most likely one of them is going to be Malcolm Moore, your first round pick. Right. They have a very, they're what we call, you know, aluminum. They're recyclable because they were drafted so high. Everybody believes the talent is eventually sure. going to pan out. So, you know, most likely Malcolm Moore is going to make it. One other guy in this draft that we drafted is going to make it in the 10 rounds. And then maybe you hope that you are a good drafting team in 2024. And by 2028 or 29, you had three of your top 10 round picks actually make the major league.
Does the seeming shift in philosophy, I don't know if that's too grand of a thought, but is it the seeming shift in philosophy of the Rangers a little bit more to more college players, maybe an attempt to up that number, like closer to the development that you need, understanding yeah. that you still need more some development to get them to major league ready?
Yeah, I do. Now, when I was with the Cleveland Indians back in the 90s, they had a philosophy of not really taking a lot of high school kids. In my draft, out of guys that they signed, we only took three high school guys. Now, that was John Hart, who eventually came to the Rangers, and they just felt like they wanted guys that were more mature and that they had a better understanding of. And so if they were taking a high school guy, they just wanted them to feel more confident about it. And the two other guys that were drafted out of high school, Ryan McDermott, who I believe lives in our Metroplex. I haven't seen him in a long time, but I know he moved here. He is a second round pick, and I don't even think he made it past A-ball. And Grant Sharp was a kid who was a fifth round pick in my draft out of high school. I was 18th round. I was the third high school player taken in our draft.
Yeah.
Is Grant Sharp quit after a year because he didn't like pro ball.
Wow.
So he actually quit really quickly. He quit after half a season, and they're like, well, you have to give back your $150,000 signing Oof. Bonus. You have to play at least a full season. So he played a full season, then showed up to Winter Haven, Florida the next spring training, got his paycheck for driving to Winter Haven, and then drove back home to Mississippi and then was done playing baseball. So I do think we'll see, end of story here, I do think we'll see going forward a lot more college players, not only drafted yeah. by the Rangers, but drafted by their teams because they can't compete now with the NIL money. I can't take a kid in the 10th round, it says slotted here, $178,000. Man, if I'm drafting a kid that is already committed to University of Texas, for example, or Texas A&M, and I already know they're going to get $100,000 their freshman year and possibly more as they go to A&M, how can I convince them to sign for $180,000 right. if they're going to make $300,000 and be getting an education and being at Texas A&M? A-ball sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So
riding the bus compared to being one of the big men on campus yes. is definitely a different experience.
That's it.
There you go, a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick. Appreciate you, Mike, for that look into the Rangers MLB draft for, I guess, the first 10 rounds. Yep. That continues today.
The next 10 rounds, 11 through 20 are today, and then it ends.
There we go. It doesn't go on forever, like everything else. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Jalen Brunson no longer a Mav anymore. However, just signed an extension with the Knicks, and he took less money, left a lot of money on the table. Do you like moves like this? We'll discuss it next on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.